Today is going to be a good day, and as we get into talking about what we're going to be talking about the next little bit, some people are going to be jumping up and down, being like, yeah, and some people be like, man, I don't know about all this. I might not come back for a couple weeks. So there's that. Whenever you start talking about the Holy Spirit and who he is and what he does and why he's a part of our lives and how according to the gospel, the word of God, he manifests in our lives, it's a scary thing sometimes because people don't understand it, right? How many of you know sometimes we're afraid of things we don't understand? Sometimes things have been misused in the past, so we're afraid to even let it be a part of what's going on. And I think the talks about the Holy Spirit and about who he is again and what he does and how he's supposed to manifest. How many of you know there are supposed to be manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the church services according to Scripture? If you look in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, when Paul, he's writing to the Corinthians, he's writing to others, he talks about spiritual gifts, and we're going to get into how we're supposed to use them. And today, what I wanted to do is kind of do like a 101, like a frequently asked questions of the Holy Spirit. You guys, how many of you ever do that? When you get ready to go somewhere, you look at the frequently asked questions to make sure there's not something before you ask the question, and then be like, could you look at the frequently asked questions, please? Right? How many of you have ever? Anyway, sorry. It happens. It happens from time to time. But this is the one thing about the Christian life that I know, that I see, that I know to be true, is that we talk a whole lot about God, we talk a whole lot about Jesus, and there's not much mention of the Holy Spirit. And according to Scripture, He is as just as much a part of our lives as God and Jesus. And I understand that you say, well, you know, they're all the same and they're all together. And I understand some people believe in the Trinity. Some people do not. I do. And that's what we teach and preach here. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I wouldn't preach it if I didn't believe it to be true. Right? I wouldn't share it with you because I believe that I'll have an accountability and I'll stand accountable for things. But I will tell you this. That you need to get in the Word of God and make sure that what I say lines up with the Word of God and have let the Holy Spirit and God tell you what to believe other than me tell you what to believe. If you listen to me, it's one of those signs. Now, I'm not saying this. I'm not saying anything bad about myself, but I'm just saying the Scripture says if the blind lead the blind, they both end up in the ditch. Right? So if I'm reading this Scripture and I'm interpreting it wrong, but I'm teaching you what it is and I'm teaching you wrong, you're not going to be able to say, well, Pastor Toby, that's what he taught me, God. That's why I believed it. And we're not going to have that opportunity, right, when we stand in front of him. So just the same way with my kids. When my kids get in an argument with each other and one hits the other or somebody does something and they come to me, I'm like, what did you do? Like, well, they did this. I say, well, listen, I'm going to deal with they later. I'm going to deal with you right now. Why did you do what you did? Right? Well, that's what's going to happen when we stand before him in judgment. It's going to be a, why did you do the things that you did? Notwithstanding, and that won't be an excuse because everybody else is doing it. That won't fly, right? Because that's what they told me one time, and I heard it a long time ago. How many of you have ever had something taught to you in church long ago, or hopefully not recently because you guys are all here, but you've heard something taught that you believe that when you actually looked at it, it wasn't in the Word of God, right? It's happened, right? It does happen. And so that's why I say, whether it's me or John or Aaron or Nick, Shane, anybody, when anybody is speaking from here, line it up with the Word of God after. That's why we give you notes. Like, I didn't even put blanks on it today, right? I just filled it all in for you. That way you can pay attention, right? I don't know. We're going to get into it today, and we need to understand one thing, and I think it's, again, it's something that the church, the world as a whole has missed. Exactly what Christianity is. Christianity is not a rules and regulations. It's not a do this and do that. It is a life that we live that is led by the Holy Spirit. And that's what it's designed to be. The Christian life is a supernatural life. It is God putting his Spirit in us so that we can live according to his word and to his statutes. God has given us the Holy Spirit to empower us in that he's given empowering gifts to us so that we can serve him and serve others around us the way he designed us to. the way he wants us to. I want to say something, but I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm going to stop. Christianity isn't something that you take up, like golf. Like, I'm just going to take up golf, right? I'm just going to take up riding Jeeps around. I really have gotten into it right now. My wife is like, man, I hope he slows down a bit because I've been doing it anyway. Can't you take up something a little cheaper? It's not something that you take up and just start to be a part of. It's something that you are taken into. And let me explain what it is. The scripture says that we're taken out of darkness and brought into the light. It says that we're taken out of death and brought into life, right? And so it's not just something that we take up and we start to do, and if I do these things right, then I'm okay. It is a change that happens in our life that we were this, and now we are this. So let me encourage you, if you just are looking to make yourself better, I'm not saying Christianity is not for you, it's for everyone, but if you're just trying to make yourself better, you need to look at the scripture and see what it's really all about and do it the right way. How many of you know sometimes we do things halfway? So, like this, right? I started doing a diet a while back, and it was the keto diet, right? And I just started doing it, but I didn't really understand it. And then I was frustrated because it wasn't working, right? Then I sat down with Dr. Steve, who knows a whole lot about it. He's been doing it for a long time. And he's like, look, you're not doing it right. No wonder it's not working for you, right? That's not his words. That's what I got out of the conversation. He was a lot more gentle than that. He's like, dude, this is what I know about it. Let me show you what I know and how it works for me. But when I got into actually understanding what it was, I understood I wasn't doing it right. And I think there's a lot of people that are walking in Christianity and they're not doing it right because they're looking to be better or they're looking to just have this situation change. So I'm going to come to God so he'll change that situation. Well, it's not about that situation changing. It's about us being transformed into something brand new. And when that happens, things change, right? We're looking at we want a symptom and not what actually causes it, right? And you say, well, usually you talk about symptoms and stuff about being a sickness. Christianity is not a sickness. But what I'm saying is that there are things that happen because of this, the change. We want to see the because of this, but we don't want the change, right? And that's one of the things that we need to understand about the Holy Spirit and why God has given us Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's not just so that we can be better. It's not just so that we can be better. See, because Christianity is not about worldviews or ethics or a certain set of beliefs. It is a life that starts and is sustained by the Holy Spirit. That's what Christianity is. The promise of God giving us his Holy Spirit and living and dwelling in us has been for a very, very long time. And I want to encourage you in this. If God has spoken something to you, this is kind of a squirrel, but it still works. Principle's still the same. If God has spoken something to you, don't be frustrated because you haven't gotten it yet, okay? Because in the book of Ezekiel, he talks about the Holy Spirit and putting it inside each and every one of us, but it doesn't happen until Acts chapter 2, right? King David was anointed as king, but it was many, many years before he was king, right? There are some promises that God gives us and shows us and tells us that are for our future, that are not for right now. And one of the things that we need to make sure that we do is not try to get ahead of ourselves, put the cart before the horse, right? I think God doesn't tell us a lot of things a lot of times because if he did, we'd try to make it happen ourselves instead of allowing him to do it, right? And I think that with the gifts too, but again, I'll get into that in a minute. But one of the things that we need to understand is that God all along had a plan and a design and a desire for the Holy Spirit to be inside of us, to lead us and to guide us and to give us power to do what we're supposed to do. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27, it says, I will give you a new heart. It's not that I will change your old heart. I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So understanding that, right, there is going to be rules that we follow as Christians. They don't get taken away from us, right? There's a lot of people that say, well, I have freedom in Christ, so I don't have to do, I can do whatever I want. That's, no. We're not subject to those. We're not ruled by those, but we will live in them. Why? Because the Holy Spirit within us causes us to walk in His commandments, in His truth. So it's not that I'm doing these things so I can be in His presence. It's because His presence is inside of me, I'm able to do these things. And there's a complete and total difference. Some people are like, well, that's semantics. You're just saying one way. No. That's what happens. When I become new, when His Spirit lives inside of me, and I start walking by the Spirit, as Paul tells us over and over and over to do in the New Testament, guess what ends up happening? My life is completely and totally different, and it affects and empowers me to do things I never could do on my own. And it also affects and empowers people that are around me to see who God is and what He wants to do in them, because He was able to do it in me. And it's not that I've become holy and I'm this holy thing, but I am becoming holy. He tells us that. Be holy as I am holy. Why would He tell us that if we were unable to do that? If He wasn't going to give us a way to accomplish it, right? And sometimes we think, well, when we get in His presence, we'll be holy from that moment on. When we stand in front of Him, there's a lot of things God gives us, tells us about, that are going to be in heaven, in our next life. But there are a lot of things that we put as just being in the next life that He intends us to walk in today. And when we start listening to the Holy Spirit, and when we start understanding that that's what, why He's a part of our lives. Look, when we start acknowledging that He is a part of our lives, right? Everything will change. Everything will change. And again, some people are going to be super excited about this sermon series, and some people are not going to look forward to it. There's a lot of confusion. Because in the church, depending on what your background is, man, you may have seen the gifts of God just walked over, right? And not used in a right manner. How many of you have ever seen somebody get a gift and they just use it so incorrectly, right? And what ends up happening? They end up hurting themselves and others, right? And I think there's a lot of that goes on. A lot of people that get super excited to use their gifts and they're not ready for them yet, right? And then some of us probably sitting there and be like, man, he's talking about it. I can't wait to start tongue talking in church, right? I'm here. Let's do it. Then some of you are sitting there and be like, if they start tongue talking in church, I'm out of here, right? So there's a difference between the two, a completely different perspective. But according to God's word, when it's used correctly, it doesn't cause chaos. It doesn't cause people's heart to mess up. Now, granted, some people, till they understand what goes on, I can't tell you how many times I've been in church and somebody starts speaking in tongues and somebody be like, and they start looking around like, does anybody else see something wrong with this? Like, I don't understand. Why? Because they don't know. And ignorance causes fear, right? Ignorance causes things that never should have been, right? And again, I'm not using ignorance as a bad word. Ignorance means you just don't know, right? There's a lot of things we don't know about, and because we don't know, it scares us. And that's one of the things that I think has happened in the church. The church has been scared or has seen the gifts misused so much that they just say, okay, no using of gifts, right? And they keep it out of the church. Now, again, I've been in church for a long time. There was about 10 years where I went stupid and was out of church. But as a child, I grew up in the Assemblies of God, and I saw a lot of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And I've seen a lot of it where it's been used properly, and I've seen a lot of it where it's not been used properly. And the Scripture tells us that we are to test the spirits. So when we see something happen, see something going on, we're to take what happens and look in the Scripture and say, hey, is that right? Was that used correctly or was that used incorrectly? We're supposed to take what happens and say, does it line up scripturally with the Word of God, the Word that was just being spoken to me? Right? I've had people that have had a word of knowledge that were so unknowledgeable about what God was doing in my life, right? That it was, they wanted to use a gift. They have been given a gift, and you know what? Sometimes we get so comfortable in our gifts that we just want to use them, and God hasn't called us to use them yet at that moment, at that time, right? We get so excited and anxious. We see the Holy Spirit moving and going and doing things, and so we want to be a part of it, and so we use our gifts. And sometimes it's not the right time. I've been in services where and Aaron and I have talked about this, where someone started speaking in tongues, and immediately a silence fell over the church, and then someone started speaking, right? Like, it's like God let everybody, like, y'all be quiet for a minute, right? And it'd be in the middle of service. And then I've seen sometimes when the Holy Spirit has been moving and going and it's an amazing service and he's moving powerfully, and then someone uses a gift and it's not at the right time and everything changes. The whole atmosphere of the church changes. I've seen that myself. And so it's important that we know what the gifts are and how to use them, because he wouldn't have given them to us if he didn't want us to use them. Amen? He wouldn't have put them in our hands to say, look, hold this present, but you don't ever get to open it. How horrible would that be? That would be rough. He doesn't do that to us. But again, there's a lot of misunderstanding. And one of the things that we see is that Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians and others and telling them about how to use the gifts, he starts saying, hey, you're using them wrong. Stop using them until you figure them out. He doesn't ever say that. But he does say, stop using them incorrectly. Start using them in the right manner. You've been using these gifts in the wrong way, and I want to teach you and show you the way that you need to use them, right? I want the Holy Spirit to move in here. How many of you know his Spirit is here? We invite him in and say, Holy Spirit, come. He's already here. Why? Because he lives inside of each and every one of us. But what we're doing is we're telling ourselves or telling God, God, we're ready to listen to what your Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. We just say it in a different way, right? How many of you want the Holy Spirit to move in your life? How many of you want to be able to use the gifts that he's given you? I think all of us would raise our hands and say, some of us are like, as long as it's not tongue talking, I'm good, right? As long as it's not that God, I'll use every other gift. But you know what? We're going to get into some frequently asked questions. Before we do that for today, I'm going to read to you 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. It might be a little bit long, but I'll try to get through it. Just stay with me. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Another translation says misinformed, which tends to make me believe that some people were informing others how to use their gifts and they were teaching them in an improper way. Right? He's saying, I don't want you to be ignorant of them. I want you to know what they are. I want you to know why you have them. Because this is the thing. The gifts that God gives us, Scripture says that it empowers us to do what he's called us to do. He wants us to use these gifts. He wants us to reach people. He wants us to do it in the right manner. Right? You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by, to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of services, but the same Lord. There are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in every one. This is just another place where we see the Scripture, even though it doesn't use the word Trinity, showing us the Trinity. If you look at what was just said, right? It says there are a variety of gifts, but they are all of the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There are a variety of services, but they are from the same Lord. Who's our Lord? Jesus Christ. There are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Another thing that I want you to see, and this is one of the questions we're going to ask in a minute. He says all in some people. All in just the ones that I think are really holy. No. He says all gifts are given to everyone. Everyone has an opportunity. Verse 7 says, to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, works of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the availability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Right? So, let me say this. just because I don't have the gifts or the gifts manifesting in my life does not mean that I'm not a part of God's kingdom. I've heard preached and taught, if unless you can speak in tongues, then you're not really saved. That's not a part of the scripture, right? That's not a part of the scripture. And it says that not everyone's going to do it. If you just look right here at what it says. Not everyone is going to do it. So it's wrong for me to be like, you need this gift, you have to have this gift, or God doesn't love you. Look, hold up, let's back up, because that's wrong. And it doesn't need to be taught. Doesn't need to be taught. The first thing that we're going to see, the first question that comes is, where do gifts come from? According to what we just read and according to other scriptures in here, Jesus says, Luke 24, 48 and 49, it says, you are the witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So where do these gifts come from? They come from God. Who gives them to us? Who gives us access to them? Jesus. No man comes to the Father except through me. We can't receive any of the gifts that God has for us unless we come through Jesus. Everything that Jesus did gave us access to the Father, and because of it, gave us access to everything that the Father has in his house. Remember my remember my buffet mentality of Christianity? Does everybody know my buffet mentality to Christianity? If you don't, put your hand up. I'm going to tell you. All right, some of y'all don't know. I like using it, so I'm going to say it anyway. So when I accept Jesus into my life, I gain access to the buffet, right? In God's kingdom, in his house, there's so many things that I have access to now. Just like when I go to the buffet down the street, right? I go into the Golden Corral. If I go into Golden Corral, I can go eat as much of any one thing as I want at Golden Corral in their thing. But do you know, I don't run as hard as I can for the broccoli. Like I don't. Like, I'm not even going to step near the broccoli, right? But it's there and it's available for me. But I don't have to have it, right? See, the gifts of God, there are so many gifts. Do you know broccoli does really good for your body, right? It's very healthy for you. It gives you a lot of vitamins and does good things. But do you know I'm not probably ever going to reap the benefits of what broccoli does for my body because I ain't going to eat it, right? And you say, well, that's dumb. Think this thought, though. When we come into God's kingdom, he has all these gifts and things for us. And we can have them if we want, but we don't have to have them. Doesn't mean we're not a part of his family. Doesn't mean that we're not at the buffet. It just means I'm not going to take part of what's going on over there. Doesn't make me wrong. May limit some of the things that I can do, though. Why? Because I won't have the benefits of that broccoli in my life, right? God's broccoli. Let's don't call it that because that says it's horrible. Right? So there's all these things that come from God and I can have them as a part of my life, but I don't have to. Amen? They come from God and we receive them through Jesus and what he's done. Acts 1:8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Again, this is where it comes. Power from on high, from God to us. We'll receive it. This is what Jesus was talking about in Luke. This is what God was talking about in Ezekiel. I'm going to put my spirit inside of you. So who gives this? Where do they come from? They come from God through Jesus. The next thing is, what is a spiritual gift? It's good to know what they are so you can know that you have them, right? A spiritual gift is any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. So it is an ability given to us by the Holy Spirit to care for one another, to serve one another, to encourage one another, to build up the church. That's why we have spiritual gifts. It's not so that we have this really cool thing that we get to play with. Sandstorm says this. It says, spiritual gifts are nothing less than God himself in us, energizing our souls, imparting revelation to our minds, and infusing power in our wills, and working his sovereign, gracious purpose through us. Spiritual gifts are God present in us with and through human thought, human deed, human word, and human love. It is us using the gift that he's given us and us being obedient with it and allowing God to use you and me to draw people to him. That is the sole purpose for spiritual gifts. That's the sole purpose for having a spiritual gift. Gifts are talked about, spiritual gifts are talked about in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. And actually it's 12 through 14. So think this thought. You know how we take a scripture and it works for what we use it for, but it really wasn't intended for what it was intended for. So chapter 13, we use that as the marriage chapter, right? Love is patient, love is kind. You know what I'm saying? But Paul has it sandwiched right in between the gifts, the spiritual gifts, right? And he starts to tell us about the spiritual gifts, and then he starts to tell us without love, we ain't got nothing, right? Without love, these spiritual gifts don't mean a thing. And then he starts talking more about the spiritual gifts. What's one of the fruit of the Spirit? The first one that we talk about, love. It's something that comes to us from the Spirit. Now, gifts and fruit, two separate things, okay? Two completely separate things. And we'll try and get into that in another time. But right now, I want to stay with the spiritual gifts. But we start to read about all those things. So let's don't forget that in every gift that he gives us, if we're not using it in love, and we're using it in a wrong way, it's going to cause harm. Doesn't matter if God's given me a word of knowledge for John. If I come to John and be like, John, you're dumb. You should have done this. John's going to be like, you're dumb. I'm not listening, right? I'll never do that. He's never done anything wrong. He's not dumb, right? It's one of those things that we have to look at. If we use it in a wrong way, doesn't matter if it's from God or not. It's not gonna build up the church. It's not gonna edify the church. It's not gonna bring people to him. So we have to be careful how we use our gifts. We have to make sure that we use our gifts in love. Amen? In Romans, he talks about this. He says, for by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think more highly than he ought to think of himself than he ought to think, but think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned him. For as in one body we have many members, the members do not all have the same function. Think this thought. I'm not going to have the same gift that all you guys are going to have, and you're not going to have the same gift that I have. We all have different gifts. Why? So that we can come together and take care of everything that is needed in the body. If all of us preach, who would be there to listen? If all of us sang and led us into worship, who would be led into worship? Do you know they do this not just so they can stand up here and sing? The purpose behind what they're doing is to help us create an atmosphere so that we can come into God's presence with the talent and ability that they've been given. Look, I know some preachers, some churches, where when the pastor, the speaker, the person in charge has their own perfect parking spot out front because they're higher than everybody else, and when they come in the door, everybody stands up. So I'm going to nominate from now on. Whenever I walk in the room, y'all just stand up for me, okay? Tell me how holy I am, right? Just look, that's total sarcasm, right? I don't ever want you guys to do that. Because look, man, I'm... I don't ever want to be put like that because it's not about me. And as soon as it becomes about me, I need to not be here. I'm just going to be for real because it's about him. This is his church. We are his children. That kind of aggravates me sometimes when people are like, they're my people at my church. But look, this is God's church and we are his children. And if somebody's going to grow better over there than they are here, I want them to be there. I mean, I love all y'all. I don't want nobody to go nowhere. But if you're going to grow more someplace else, then I want you to be there, right? If I can't provide what needs to be provided for you at this moment, then I want you to be somewhere where you can have it. Amen? You know what? Look, that's why it's so important that we get. That's why it's so important that some people start using their gifts. And we have some people to teach our young people, our youth. Look, I'm just going to be real. My daughter is about to be a teenager. I ain't got nobody here to teach her. We started talking, we need to look around, find a church that we can take our daughter to on Wednesday nights that has a youth group because we don't have one. Do you know people don't come here because they walk in the door with teenagers and be like, well, they ain't got no youth program. We're going to go someplace who does. You know what? They might should have been here. They may have been supposed to be planted here, but because and I'm getting ahead of myself, because we're not using our gifts and abilities and talents in ways that God can use them, there's a void that happens. Because of that, it affects people. See, those people that are coming in the door with these teenagers and these kids that are coming in, they may have played an important part in one of our lives. But because they're not here, because we don't have certain things, because we're not using gifts and ability. Now listen, I'm not trying to scold anybody. That's not what this is. It's not what this is. I'm not trying to guilt you into being like, well, I'll just do it. No, if you're not called to do it, I don't want you to do it. Because again, it'll cause more harm than it will good. But I want us to understand that God has given us gifts and abilities and talents, and we need to use them. We need to use them. For every member does not have the same function. So we, though as many, are one body in Christ and individual members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in portion to our faith, if service, in serving, one who teaches, in his teaching, one who exhorts, in his exhortation, one who contributes, in his generosity, one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. There are other places that it talks about the scripture in the Bible, but and what it is and what they are, what a spiritual gift is. And again, I want you to get into your word and find it. He's like, well, I don't know what to do. Man, get in the concordance in your back of your Bible and look up spiritual gifts, right? And it'll tell you all kind of stuff. Go online. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you read. Make sure that when you read it here, that it has scripture and does line up with what the word of God says. And though they use one scripture to line it up, go ahead and read in front of that scripture and read behind that scripture to make sure it's being used in the right context. But we need to know what spiritual gifts are, or how else can we use them? We can't. We can't. So why is it important? And I kind of got into this a minute. Why is it important for us to know and to understand our spiritual gifts? So according to church statistics, there are a few people doing a whole lot while there are a whole lot doing very little in the church. I'm not talking about Victory Church. I'm talking about the church as a whole. There's a whole lot of people. I'm going to use us as an example. When we go to do something, there's 10 people that I know are always going to be here unless just something happening and they can't, that are always going to serve or do. There's people I can guarantee you are going to be at that barbecue without even looking at the list out front, right? Why? Because there are some people that do. Now, granted, doing doesn't make you holy, right? Doing, and not everybody, like what I'm saying right here, not everybody is called to do certain things, right? You'd be like, some of y'all, I don't want cooking the hamburgers next week. We have some hockey pucks, right? Coming off that grill, right? Some of you, man. Ooh, I'm going to stop. I'm just going to go on to my next point. Y'all get what I'm saying, right? Why do a lot of people do things and a lot of people don't? And I'm going to tell you, it happens when we fail to understand the gift God has given us and be obedient to use it. When I understand the gift God has given me and I start being obedient to use it, when I understand where he's called me to and what he's called me to be and do, and I can't help but start doing it. But when I don't understand that there's gifts and I don't understand what those gifts are and I certainly don't know how to use them, I can't ever accomplish what God has called me to do by giving them to me. And that's not what he intended. Amen? We need to start to know our spiritual gifts and understand the importance to it. And when it does, it'll change the church. Not Victory Church, but the church as a whole. When we all come together and start using the gifts and abilities and talents that God has given us, the spiritual gifts that are there, it changes everything. But again, the scripture, Paul warns us not to elevate people or certain gifts to a platform or put them on a pedestal. You know what's wrong with putting them on a pedestal? Man, I like that game at the fair where you throw the bottle and knock them all off the pedestal, right? You got some people going to be chucking some balls, right? You got some, man, God did not give us our gifts to be arrogant. It's a gift. How can I take credit for something somebody gave me? Look how great I am. Somebody else gave me this, right? Look how great it is that I have this. Somebody gave it to me, right? I didn't earn it. I didn't do anything. It was just given to me. Look how holy I am, right? And that's what ends up happening. Again, in the church, is people are elevated. Well, we see this gift, or we see this gift as being better than the other. And I'm going to read a scripture in a minute that says something about one gift being better than the other, but I want you to understand, gifts aren't better than another for any reason other than that one, right? You're going to get to it in a minute, so I ain't going to say it now. Spiritual gifts, one of the things we also need to understand about spiritual gifts, when we know what they are and understand how to use them, is they are not a toy to be played with or trophies to be put on display. They're tools to be used for the kingdom. They're given to us so that we can build up the kingdom. Not ourselves. Not how good we look. Not what people think of us. We need to be good stewards of the gifts that God has given us. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:15, 14 and 15, it says, "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid hands on you." Then it says this, it says, "Practice these things, immerse yourself in them so that you may see your progress." So one of the things that we also learn about the gifts is that we need to start using them, and when we use them, we'll get better at them. They're not just given to us so that we can just hold on to it for the right time and then here it is, here's my gift. We might be embarrassed at that moment because we don't know how to use it. We might use it improperly because we don't know how to use it. I don't even say it. We'll go on to the next one. 2 Timothy 2:1, it says, "For this reason I remind you to frame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands." We're supposed to constantly be working at it and using it, progressing in it, understanding what to do. I do not know a single person who sings on this stage or any other stage that does what God has intended them to do. There's people that do it, and you can tell, that doesn't go through the songs during the week and don't understand and don't practice singing the song and go through how it works and listening to the track and doing things. They don't do that. Why? Because they want their gift to be perfect. And it's not that they want their gift to be perfect for them. We're bringing this to God. How dare me stand here and give him halfway anything? How dare me go home and just write a couple of things on a paper and never study it, never go through the word, never make sure that what it is, not go over it? That would be wrong. Well, hold up. If it works for my gift, what about your gift? It works for all of us. He said, "Well, my gift's just handing out papers in the front of the thing." You know what? That's important. You know, we don't just put anybody out there to hand out papers. It reminds me of a story. There was this old man. There was this revival happening, and the greeter didn't show up. And so they just grabbed the guy off the back row and be like, "Hey, you come here all the time. Why don't you go out there? Steve, you've been here for years." Not you, Steve. I just used the name out of my head. Just, "Steve, you've been here for years." And he stuck him out on the road, and he's handing out flyers, and people are coming by, and he's like, "Hey, you need to come join our thing. Jesus loves you. It's great." It's like a Eeyore, you know what I'm saying? On the front porch, like, "Here, you need to come. Jesus, change your life. You'll be happy." He's like, "Wait, is everybody inside this building as happy as you?" "Yes, they are all as happy as me. You should come in, and Jesus is going to change your life." Like, if that's what it's all about, I don't want it, right? Do you know what? There are people that are going to walk in these doors that are so alone and just looking for somebody to shake their hand, get to know them, genuinely be interested in who they are. Not like, "Hey, how you doing? I hope you had a good week. All right, man. Well, we were talking about a minute ago about you know, going to the woods and doing some stuff. It's more important than talking to the person that just came in the door that we don't know, because," right? We want people that have a gift, that love to talk to people, that love to invest into people, that are genuinely worried about who they are and why they've come. Do you know there's nothing, like I said, about the barbecue coming up, there's nothing worse than being invited to somebody, "Hey, we really want you to come. Come and see us. We want to meet you. We want to know who you are." "Oh, you're here. Great. Go sit at that table over there. I'm going to sit over here with my friends." Right? They won't come back. They probably won't go anywhere else either. Why? Because of what we did here. Just thinking. So one of the things that he warns us about, again, is about using the gifts in a right way. Again, they're not toys. They're not trophies. And this is the thing, and about what we try to do here and want to do here, is that the best way to use the gifts is in a biblical fashion. If we don't know how to use them in a biblical fashion, then we shouldn't be using them, right? And again, I go back to what Paul says about he didn't tell them to stop using them, but this is what I mean by that statement, is we are not going to try to produce or prevent a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in this service. We're not going to try and coax you into speaking in tongues, make you do it. We're not going to try and make you do these things. And we're also not going to say, hey, you know what, we don't do that here, right? We're not going to do that. Now, let me say this. I pray all the time that God gives me discernment as to what goes on. And I pray, and I will, if I believe that it is inappropriate or not right, have a conversation with the person. Now, I may not do it right at that moment, not right at that moment, because instruction isn't meant to degrade or to harm people. Instruction is supposed to encourage and build up. And if April starts speaking in tongues, I'm like, April, stop that. Stop that. We don't. You're not doing it right. How does she feel about that? What does that do? So I will address it, but not at that moment, maybe. All right? So please don't. Trying to think of a right way to say it. Please don't misinterpret grace for weakness, if that makes sense, right? Because I do believe that I've been placed here as the pastor to make sure that the right things are coming from this place, and I do take that seriously. But what I want us to understand again is that we're not going to try and. Aaron, I really want you to build this part of the song up so people will start shaking their hands and running up and down the aisles, okay? You do your best. You do everything you can to make that happen. We're not going to do that, right? We're not going to do that. But again, if the Holy Spirit moves, I want him to move. Why? Because when he moves in the service and we allow it to take place like we should do all the time in our lives, when we allow him to lead it and guide it, good things come out of it. When they are manufactured, harm comes out of it. And so I want to encourage each and every one of us, when God has given you a gift and you're about to use your gift, make sure it's not you just want to use a gift, okay? Make sure that it is the Holy Spirit leading you to do this. And sometimes it's difficult to understand. The next question in there is there a difference between a spiritual gift and a natural talent? There is. Now, will God use your natural talent in your gift? Yes. Right? He will. But again, this is what you need to ask yourself about it, is the talent, the spiritual gift that I'm using right now, is it in response to this action? Is the response to this action going to bring glory to God or make me look really good or be really holy? Is it going to draw attention to me so everybody's like, man, look how holy they are. They just spoke in tongues. Look. Right? Or is it, man, God is so good. I needed that message that just came forth. I needed that in my life. And again, a lot of times when a tongue and an interpretation is given, you can line it up with the Word of God and know whether or not, you can line it up with what's happening and know whether or not it's the right thing. And it says that we're supposed to do that. Says we're supposed to do that. So is there a difference between a spiritual gift and a natural talent? Yes, there is. But again, he will a lot of times use the natural talent that he has given us to bring and make a place for our spiritual gift in our lives. Amen? Are spiritual gifts a sign of maturity? Well, what time is it? How long have I been? 44. I need to hurry. Sorry, y'all. I'm going to hurry through them. You know what? I'm not going to hurry through them. I'm not going to hurry through them. I'm going to stop, and then we'll pick up next week. How about that? Because that went longer than what I was supposed to go. I was supposed to quit, like, a long time ago. Y'all realize I try to talk for about 35 minutes, and I ain't never once hit that mark, but at least I have it. You know what I mean? At least it's there. So we're going to stop right here, and I'm going to pick up next week with does every believer have a spiritual gift? And we'll start. No. Sorry. I've got them wrong in my notes. Oh, I missed one. No, six. I put number six where number five and number five where number six is. And so I'll pick up next week and I'll have number five in the right spot. And we'll start off with our spiritual gifts, a sign of maturity. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to go through this week and do exactly what I said earlier about, I don't understand what it is. Go in the back of your Bible. In the back of your Bible is a place and you can look up spiritual gifts. And it'll give you scriptures that talk about spiritual gifts. Go online and do some studies. Say, what are spiritual gifts? How do I know what they are? What are they supposed to be? You know? And then again, line it up with the word. And that way, when you come back next week and I'm saying some stuff, you'd be like, he's right. I just read that this week. Uh-huh. Preach it, pastor. You know, that's what you, I mean, Danny might do that from the back. I don't know. But anyway, that's an option. How many of you really want God to show you your spiritual gift? How many of you want to access it and understand how to use it and use it for his glory? Aaron, come on back up, man. We're going to stop. Or whoever's coming, come on back up. We're going to stop right here. And this is what I want to do. First of all, before we go any further, I said that we receive the gifts from God through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is given to us, right? Is brought down to live inside of us. When we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Some of us may not have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning. Now, this is the thing. We say a prayer and I say, hey, put your hand up. And why do I do that? I do that because the scripture says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved, right? That's what scripture says. And so I give us an opportunity. It's not the words that I say. It doesn't say, hey, Pastor Toby, can you write down that prayer so I can give it to my neighbor so that he can pray it and be saved? Look, it's not like that. I believe that he hears me when I say, God, help me. And he understands the cry of my heart. But I also want us to say out loud, God, I give you my everything. God, I want to know who you are. I want to see that. So if you want that in your life, I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes, because we're going to pray. I want everybody just put your hand up or put both hands up. Doesn't matter, man. And say, Dear Heavenly Father, I give you my life. You loved me enough to send your son so that I could have access to you now. And I accept it now in Jesus' name. I ask that you would make me new. Give me the new heart that you spoke about. And your spirit to lead me and guide me. In all truth, the word says, I want to be who you created me to be. Help me now to see you and to change. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Some of you want a spiritual gift. This is, and I'm getting into next week, so am I? Yeah. No, I didn't say it. Do you know it's really hard to get a gift? You got to jump up and down on one foot. Spin around in a circle.
It's a process.
You gotta level up. That's what I'm gonna talk about next week. You gotta level up to it. That's not how it works.
Christianity level 10.
Ding 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 ding. I have all the gifts. No, that's not how it works. How it works is ask and you receive. If you want to know about it, if you want wisdom on the gifts, if you want to know what your gift is, you want God to show you how to use it, man, ask. So I'm going to ask right now. We're going to sing a song. Because how many of you know everything we get comes from God? He's our Father. He's our provider. He's the one who's given us everything for us. Let's just go to him this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for today, your love, grace, and mercy. We thank you that we can ask you for gifts. That we can ask you for help. We can ask you for peace and joy. We can ask you for provision, Father God, in our lives. We can ask you for an overflow so that we can allow others to see how good you are to us. And we thank you that when we ask that, your word says that the blessings of the Lord will overtake us. Will hunt us down. It's the way that I translate that. Thank you for that. We ask that you would help us to see you more and more. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Would you stand up and sing?